We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
I want to talk to you this morning on abundant life. I want to maybe just set the tone for next week as to what next week is going to look like, because next week is our legacy end of year offering. And I was thinking about what took place in February this year. I heard Sharon mention just even during communion, it really has been one of those years, hasn't it? I mean, it's been an unpredictable, uncertain, ever-changing year. So many things have all happened in one year, haven't they? And in February, we launched, as we've done for the last 21 years, we've encouraged people to actually consider over and above your tithe, what would you consider to give as an amount over the course of a 12-month period? And we've done it for 21 years. And Legacy, we launched it in February. We talked about it. And then normally in March, we follow up with that. We had Devoted in March, and it was literally the last service we had, because after that, we were in shutdown. And we didn't have services for months in person. We were scrambling, putting together all of our campus services for each and every one of our campuses. We were putting together kids' curriculum programs, our multimedia, our media team. Man, I tell you, I love those guys. They work hard. Can we show our appreciation for all our sound and production? And so normally in February, we kind of launch it, and then March, we kind of get a chance to follow up with all that. But of course, we didn't do that this year. So our legacy commitments actually were a little less than where we were hoping they'd be for what we'd committed to. But I still felt like, well, God's with us. God knew COVID was happening. So we just went, we're going to keep on charging on, doing all that we do. But I'm just going to ask everybody to believe with us in faith, everybody online, everybody at Seaboard. I want to encourage you to really pray about what could you do next week in our end of year legacy offering. Of course, we always look for a lead gift, and this year I just really had it in my heart that we'd have two people to give a leadership gift, to be the first to give. And Paul talks about in the Corinthians, and about, he goes, you were the first to give. And so we're looking for who would be the first. And I said, if two people would commit $50,000 each, that'd be a good start to motivate and excite and encourage the rest of us. So one of our business people said, Pastor, that'll be me. I want to give the lead gift of $50,000. He goes, but then my wife said, well, she wants to give the other lead gift. And she wants to give the... So praise God, we got the lead gift. Amen. And so believe with us, for together, we'll finish this year strong. And for those who maybe didn't even commit to legacy, this is an end-of-year offering that we'd love you to do something of faith and sacrifice, because we've made some major commitments throughout the course of this year. And I didn't feel to hold back. I didn't feel like to draw back on those things. I think God put it in our heart to do these things. God knew COVID was happening. God knew before we knew. Thank you. Okay. And so I just went, well, if that's what the Lord put in my heart, it doesn't change. And so we've committed to that. And of course, it's been a year like no other. So we've redirected some of the funds that were committed in this year's legacy. We could have held on to that, unsure of how we were going to finish. But I feel like that's not how faith works. I feel like faith just keeps on believing. And so we committed to give to our military. We committed with Wave City Care. We committed with Bishop Courtney McBeth. We committed with Convoy of Hope. And today we got a very special guest with us. You will meet at the end of the service with A21. And you're going to see a little bit about where your giving has gone in a year like no other. But I want to talk to you about an abundant life. I believe it is the will of God. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and you might have it what? More abundantly. And I believe it is the will of God for you and I to live an abundant life. Amen. I believe it is the will of God for you and I to prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospers. Well, the Bible says that the prosperity and health you have is completely contingent upon how well your mind is doing, your soul. That actually, if your soul is prospering, then you will know prosperity and health. And the moment I talk about prosperity, some people just make it about money. Some people say, oh, there's a prosperity preacher and he's just talking about money. No, no, no. Prosperity has a lot more to do than just money. Prosperity is something that ought to be reflected across your whole life. You ought to be healthy, that's prospering. You ought to have a good job and actually being effective in your job, that's prospering. Having a good marriage, that's prospering. Being a good parent, having good relationships with your children, that's prospering. Come on, somebody say amen. Matter of fact, the difference between prosperity and greed is actually generosity. And I want to talk on this subject this morning about abundant life. And let me just start by saying, I still believe the greatest key to living an abundant life is having a good, healthy church life. I want to say thank you to all of our online family that are watching and staying with us online. You're as much a part of church as anybody in person here this morning. Matter of fact, church, can we just one more time welcome all our family? This morning we had people from Spain and all over the world watching. And I want to say, Romans 8 verse 22, it says, we know that the whole of creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Waiting, the Bible says, for the manifestation of the sons and the daughters of God. Do you know what God's plan is? God's plan for the earth is the church. Is for God's sons and God's daughters to stand up and give godly example of how to live a godly life. God's plan is the church. Come on, somebody say amen. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell cannot, shall not, will not prevail against it. I don't know about you, but I want to spend my life building the one thing that hell will not prevail against. Some people are trying to build what they're trying to build, but let me tell you, if you are building what he is building, then hell will not prevail against you. Amen. I want to spend my life building what he is building, because what he is building, hell cannot stand against it in Jesus' name. I love the church. Contrary to popular opinion in today's day and age, the church is essential. Somebody say amen. It's not optional. It's not to be marginalized. She's not to be diminished. And so much of the world tries to put the church in a little corner and a little box. But let me tell you, love us or hate us, you will not ignore us. The church is the bride of Christ. Jesus is building his church and she is strong and she is a force to be reckoned with. Amen. In church, we learn salvation, the need of a savior. We learn discipleship. We learn generosity. Oh, that was underwhelming. We learn generosity. We learn that the key to prosperity is being faithful in our tithe. Oh, that was a good amen. Praise the Lord. And that's that first 10%. The Bible, Proverbs 3 verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruit of all your crops. In other words, we give to God, the first 10% belongs to God with the first fruits. Amen. In other words, if you get a promotion and you get a bonus and you get a bonus of $1,000, you give 10%, not just of your salary, but of the bonus. With the increase, all that God increases, and we learn in the church what generosity really is. We learn in the church what abundant life looks like. Amen. This money is God's. It's not ours. The tithe belongs to God. We don't give to God our tithe. We bring our tithe because it's his. Amen. If I borrowed Robert's lawnmower and I kept it for 6 months, and then one day I had this feeling of generosity, and I went to Robert and said, Robert, here, I want to bless you with a lawnmower. How many know I'm not giving Robert a lawnmower? I'm only returning to him that which was already his. That's the tithe. We're not giving to God that was always his. What you do with the first redeems the rest. Somebody say amen. The Bible says in Malachi that we're to bring the tithe, watch this, into the storehouse, into the place, into the house of God where you are being fed. And God says, test me now and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you that you could not contain it. Amen. The tithe, we know, is to resource God's workforce. Look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I want to read to you a few verses because I want you to see from the Word of God. I've heard people say, well, tithing is in the law and we've been redeemed from the law. Well, tithing was before the law. Cain and Abel. Abel gave his first fruits. Amen. Abraham, before the law, tithed to Melchizedek, who was Christ. So tithing was before the law, it was during the law, and it's even after the law. I want to show you how the Apostle Paul shows you that even in the New Testament, tithing is the same principle. And we know that tithing according to the law was established to resource God's workforce. It's how the priest and the ministers actually looked after the house of God and served the needs of the people in that day. So we know that was established in the Old Testament. Look what Paul says now. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus, our Lord? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? Even though I may not be apostle to others, surely I am to you. He's writing to the Corinthians. This is my defense to those who sit in judgment over me. It is amazing how people love to sit in judgment over preachers who teach tithing, who teach giving. Ah, they're just after your money. I've never seen anybody walk into a casino and say, you're just after my money. Yes, they are. But the church isn't after your money. The church is trying to teach you that if you understand generosity, listen, God will bless you. He's trying to get more to you. But the way to do it is to realize that God is the source. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is your provider. He will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. That's a good chance to give the Lord a hand. He goes, for those who sit in judgment over me, don't we have the right to food and drink? Don't we have the right to take advantage, to take along a believing wife with us, as do the other apostles and the brothers and Cephas? Or is it only I and Barnabas who lack the right not to work for a living? So Paul's talking. Hey, listen, when people bring their tithe and that money comes into the house of God and we use that money to go about to do the work of God, Paul's going, don't we have a right for that? And listen what he says. Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat its grapes? Who tends a flock and does not drink its milk? Do I say this on human authority? Doesn't the law say the same thing? So Paul is going back to the law of Moses and he's going, that which was instituted in the tithe and the purpose for the tithe was to resource God's workforce. He's bringing it into the New Testament and it's the same principle. Something changed from the Old Testament, the New Testament, but tithing didn't. It was before the law, it was during the law, and it's after the law. And he goes, doesn't the law say the same thing? Do not muzzle an ox while it's treading out the grain. The ox is the minister. And it's not about the oxen that God is concerned? Surely he says this for us, doesn't he? Yes, this was written for us because whoever plows and threshes should be able to do so in the hope of sharing in the harvest. If we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? Amen. If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? You see, church, I'm just trying to show that actually tithing or first fruits was before the law, during the law, and after the law. Amen. And so we look at that and we think about in the church life. A key to abundant life is church life. And in church life, we learn generosity. Ephesians 3 verse 20, unto him who was able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or think according to the power that is in us. I believe God wants you and I to live an abundant life. Thank you, church. Amen. I believe it's the will of God for you and I to live a blessed, prosperous life. God wants you to, he wants to bless you. Why? So that you can be a blessing. I mean, and I love what Rob Morris says. He wrote a great book called Beyond Blessed. And it's an amazing book because I love what he talks about there. And he talks about what does it mean to be beyond blessed? Well, it's here, Ephesians 3, verse 20. Under him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ever ask or think. That's what God can do. He can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ever ask or think, according to the power that's at work within you. So if your asking and thinking is here, where is God? He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all. But imagine if your thinking started here, then where's God? He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all. Come on. Come on. Above all that you could ever ask or think. So let me ask you a question. What are you asking about? What are you thinking about? The devil wants you to think there's something spiritual about being poor. The devil wants you to think there's something spiritual about being a worm. But God's not called us to be the worm. He's called us to be the head and not the tail. He's called us to be above only and not beneath. My thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. I believe this. I believe it is the will of God for you to live an abundant life. Rob Morris talks about beyond blessed. He says, well, what does that look like? And he gives this illustration. He says, well, to have one grandchild, you're blessed. But if you're like Sharalai, we have six with a seventh on the way. How many know that's beyond blessed? Matter of fact, have a look at the photo right there. There they are, six beautiful grandchildren. We're believing for at least nine in Jesus' name. There's Jax, there's Liv, there's Lennon, there's little Thunder. Boy, that kid is like Hulkamania. And he's only two, but he was sitting on top of Jax and Jax couldn't get him off him. And then there I am, I'm holding Lachlan and there's Sharon holding little Dodge. Let me tell you, that is beyond blessed in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. So it's not materialism. It's about being blessed to be a blessing. Listen, I want you to catch this. We get to give. We don't give, listen to this, to get. We get to give, amen? But giving, and we learn this in church life, is only one part of being blessed. I hear people say this to me all the time. Well, Pastor, I tried that tithing thing. I gave in that offering, but I'm still in debt. That's a little bit like saying, well, I brush my hair, but I still stink. Because it's not just giving. Are you hearing me? It's only one part of it. You can brush your hair, but if you don't have a shower, you're still going to smell. Thank you for the underwhelming response. It's like, well, I brush my teeth. Well, that's good, but there's more to presenting yourself than just brushing your teeth. Amen? Come on, someone say amen. And so what you got to do is understand it's not just giving, but listen to this, this stewardship. And you've got to steward every area of your life. It's a bit like this. I want you to think about it, that when it comes to the abundant life, there's two legs that connected to it. It takes two legs for a life to walk on. Is that true? For you and I to walk out our life, it takes two legs. And there's generosity and there's stewardship. Are you hearing it? You can brush your hair all you like, but if you don't use deodorant, you're still going to smell. And I want you to think about giving. Yes, we need to give, but we've got to be good stewards. And if you're a generous person, but you're not a good steward, you can't have the abundant life that God wants you to have. Because it's a bit like somebody who wins the lottery. And they can say, yeah, I got all this money, but if you're not a good steward of it, it'll be gone. Not only will the money be gone, but your life will be worse than before you ever got the money in the first place. Are you hearing me? So you can say, yeah, I give, but you gotta be a good steward. Thank you. Very underwhelming right now. You're all very quiet. Amen. This is good preaching right here because people get it wrong. If you don't manage it right, he can't bless you. Now think about it. You can be a generous person, but not a good steward. Then you can't have the abundant life. On the other hand, you can be a good steward, but not a generous person. And it still isn't right. Are you hearing me? In other words, we would call you tight. You're a good steward, but you lack generosity. It's all about stewarding. It's all about controlling. It's all about managing. But you still got to have generosity. It's a bit like this. So I got some shoes here, and it's like, yeah, it's two legs. It's not just one foot, it's two. Well, here we go. I'm going to put my foot in this shoe, and this shoe is nailed to the piece of wood. Well, how many know I'm not going to get very far with my foot nailed to the floor? You've got to get the two working together, giving and stewardship in Jesus' name. And if you're a generous person who's a good steward of the finances God gives you, then I want to tell you, you will live the abundant life. Give a Lord a hand if you believe it. As I put my shoe back on, praise the Lord. I thought that was a good illustration myself. Listen to what God said to Abraham. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. God's idea is to bless you. It is God's idea to bless you. It is God's idea. How many want what God wants? I don't want much. I just want whatever it is. Well, God wants you to be blessed. I don't need much. I just need $400 a week, and that's all I need. Well, it's never been about what you need. It's about actually having a heart to be blessed, to be a blessing. And if all you need is $400 a week, then why don't you believe God for $450 and give the other $50 away? Don't make life just about you in Jesus' name. Amen. God's idea is to bless you. Why? To be a blessing. I think about our three children, and I think about, you know, Sharon and I, over the 21 years of pastoring here in Wave Church, some of the most amazing, generous people that we've ever met in our lives have been right here in Wave Church. And so when I see people turning up every year faithfully, not just tithing, but giving to the work of legacy, to the work of the Lord, I ask them, tell me, why do you give? And they say, you don't understand. Two people I can think of right now have been some of the most amazing, generous people to Wave Church and to God's house. And they say, you don't understand. When we were little, we saw our mom and dad sitting down, writing a check to actually help the work of the Lord prosper in the church we were a part of. And we used to watch our parents do that. Man, that spoke to me. That really challenged me to make sure that I'm being an example to my children. Let me just boast on them for a moment in the Lord. I remember when Alyssa and Jared got married, and, you know, we've been teaching them, don't go in the debt for things, you know, don't accept maybe your mortgage, and even then try to pay that off as quick as you can. And so Alyssa and Jared had saved up a large sum of cash to actually buy a car, cash, so they didn't go in the debt. And I watched Alyssa and Jared when it came to provision for the house offering. And I watched them take all the money they'd saved, and they sowed all that cash into an offering. And I said, God, they gave to you first. Now, Lord, bless them. And by the grace of God, Jared and Alyssa are debt-free on their cars, and they both have beautiful cars. Can I tell you, God's good. I think about Josh, and I remember Josh was so excited to get this motorcycle of his dreams. Greatest waste of a motorcycle he's ever had, but he likes it. He wanted a cafe racer, and he was so excited. He finally got the motorcycle of his dreams. And as soon as he rode it, the very first ride, he tells the story how he heard God say, I want you to give this one to me. And Josh sold that motorcycle. He rode it once, and he sold it and took all the cash of the sale of that motorcycle and put it into provision for the house offering. Well, now, by the grace of God, he actually has a motorcycle sitting in his garage that was given to him. Praise God. Can I tell you, God's good. But God wants to make sure he has a heart. Sam and Laurie. Sam, when he wanted to get engaged to his girlfriend, now his wife. And I remember Sharon would, you know, when Sam was little, we opened up a bank account for him, and we used to watch him put money in there and save. And over the years, it grew to quite a large sum of money. And then because as he was little, it had to be joint names, Sharon still connected in joint names to his account. Now he's a grown-up. And she would get this statement one day that all the money that Sam had saved was taken out of the bank account. Sharon thought maybe someone hacked it, someone got his money. And Sharon said, Sam, what happened? This is the money you've been saving to buy Laurie an engagement ring. And he goes, and we wouldn't have known except that happened. Sam goes, no, Mum and Dad, there's a provision for the house offering. And I just felt like the Lord told me to give all that money I'd save for an engagement ring. Can I tell you, it's a pretty cool thing when you catch your kids being generous. And let me ask you a question. What are you doing to pass on generosity to the next generation? If we don't teach that to our children, then generosity will stop with you. And I believe it's not just our physical, biological children. I believe it's what legacy is all about is for the generations to come. I want to speak to all our military for a moment. You might say to yourself, well, I don't know if I'm even going to be here. Why would I give to an offering that I'm not even going to see the benefit of it by being part of this church? I don't know that I'll still be here in 3 years or 5 years. Here's what I want to say to you. All you got to do is get your seed in the ground and your harvest will find you. But if you don't put your seed in the ground, there will be no harvest. God knows your address. God will see to it that if you get seed in the ground, your harvest is coming in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody say amen. I just want to encourage us. Come on, let's understand God wants us to be blessed in Jesus' name. So why talk about money? Every time somebody in the Bible worshipped, they gave offerings. Do you know the Bible, God put tithing in the Bible. It wasn't a preacher, it was God. And 16 out of 38 parables talk about money and possessions. Why? Was Jesus trying to get their money? Let me put it to you this way. Do you think I'm trying to get your money? Was Jesus trying to get their money? No, Jesus was trying to teach people that the key to a blessed life is generosity and stewardship in Jesus' name. Never call money in your account yours. It all belongs to Him. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Amen. Amen. So when I teach you to give and to be good stewards, it's no different than teaching someone how to build a blessed family or a blessed marriage or how to be a good employee. It's all in the Bible. Matthew 6, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And as we've seen what we've done in Legacy just over these last few weeks even, when we gave to Bishop Courtney McBeth and the school makeover that they're doing, I want you, people say, well, I don't have a heart for that. Well, that's simple. I can help you. Give me your money. And I will take your money and I will put it into that area of helping underprivileged, undeveloped children. And you may not have a heart for it, but if you give me your treasure, where your treasure is, your heart will follow. Your heart will be there also. I don't have a heart for people in Uganda. I don't really have a heart for seeing people get saved. I don't have a heart for the church. I can tell you something. I can help you get a heart for those things. Give your finances to those things because where your treasure is, your heart will be also. I actually think it'd be a really good thing for each and every one of us to do an audit on where our treasure is. And you can say, I've got a heart for the house of God. I got a heart for generosity. But just take a good look at where your money is going. Look at where your treasure is today. Look at where the money is going. Because where your treasure is, your heart will be there. Amen. Do an audit. And maybe your treasure is more about the country club. Maybe your treasure is more about other places. But if there's money going to the house of God, where your treasure is, your heart will also be. Praise the Lord. I can help you get a heart for God's house by teaching you to put your finances there. The Bible says heaven rejoices more over one person that gets saved than over 99 righteous people. The Bible teaches five parables, and every one of those parables, the first one was the lost coin. And it talks about how that, you know, when they lost the coin, it says they swept the whole house until it was found. And then there was great rejoicing. Talks about the wandering sheep. And talks about that the shepherd left the 99, went after the one because, and then when they brought the one back, they had a party. And it's all about, listen, and then the Bible talks about the prodigal son and the son that went away from God. And when the son came home, the father had a party. And then it tells a parable about a good steward and about a shrewd steward. And then it tells a parable, and it's all to do. Well, listen, the priority of heaven is using your money to reach lost people. And how the parable of that shrewd steward used finances to make friends of the world. And it's talking about we got to use our finances to reach lost people, which is what the other three parables are about. And then the fifth parable, it talks about, just think about it for a minute, Lazarus, who was a poor man and a rich man, and the Lazarus was a beggar, and the Lazarus used to beg. The only time a parable where a man's name was given in a parable, and they called him Lazarus. And this rich man ignored Lazarus, and then they both died, and the rich man ended up in hell, and the Lazarus ended up in heaven. And the rich man reached out to Father Abraham and said, "Father Abraham, I'm in torment. Could you please send Lazarus down here to give me one drop of water to ease my pain and suffering?" And Abraham said, "Hey, you had your chance. You didn't use your finances to help this man when you're alive." Can I tell you something? The Bible is trying to teach us that we better have a heart for lost people. We better have a heart for the church. We better understand that we've got to use our assets and our incomes to reach those that don't yet know Jesus. And if you don't have a heart for it, I can help you. That's what legacy is. It's to help us to think beyond ourselves. Some people say, "Well, don't you think, Steve, it's a little insensitive in COVID to be teaching about giving?" I got to tell you something. I have a fear of God not to teach it, because I believe it actually is the key to prosperity. It is the key to God's blessing in Jesus' name. It's a subject that has to be taught in these days, in this time, in this generation. Can somebody say amen? Come on, give God a hand if you believe it. Look what the Bible says, Psalm 37, verse 27. Psalm 35, verse 27. "Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. Let them continually say, 'Let the Lord be magnified,' and the Lord who has pleasure in the prosperity of his people." Do you realize the Lord takes pleasure in you prospering? And please don't just make it about money. It's across your whole life in Jesus' name. God wants you to have an abundant life. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, I just want to challenge us as I close. It says here in Chronicles that Jabez was given the name Jabez because his mother gave birth to him in pain. I want to know what mother doesn't. And then it says, "Jabez cried out to God, 'Oh, that you would bless me, that you would enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me. Keep me from harm, so I will be free from pain.'" Do you know what Jabez did? He was named Pain by his mother. But he said, "Well, that may be what my mother named me, but God, that you would bless me, so I would not be a harm to others. My mother may have named me Pain, but God, if you'll bless me, if you'll enlarge me, I will never be a pain to anybody else. God, if you'll bless me, I will be a blessing to others." How many think that's a good prayer? Well, God obviously did, because God answered his prayer. And the Lord, the Bible says, answered Jabez's prayer. When was the last time you prayed, "God, that you would bless me"? And listen, Jabez didn't say, "God, bless me, gimme, 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 my name's Jimmy." I always feel sorry for anybody whose name is Jimmy when I say that. But God, it wasn't just about that. Jabez prayed, "God, bless me so I not be a pain to others. Bless me so I can be a blessing to others." I just want to encourage everybody next weekend, let's believe God to do everything we can in the name of Jesus. We got something pretty cool happening. We'll talk about it next week with our Richmond campus. It is absolutely incredible. There's an opportunity for us to acquire a facility that's going to take a little bit of faith. And to be honest with you, in the natural man, it would not make sense to do what we're about to do. But I've learned to walk by faith. I've learned to trust God. In Jesus' name, it is going to be an absolute miracle, and I just can't wait to talk to you about a little bit more about it. I've been talking about this now for weeks and weeks, but because of COVID, some of the meetings and the delays, things have been pushed back, and so we keep having to push back what we want to talk about. But it's going to take a miracle financially for us to be able to acquire what God's about to do. Church, are you believing with me? Come on, everybody online, Seaboard Road, are you believing with me? I want to encourage us. Let's believe God. Let's get our seed in the ground. Let's do something great for God this year in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think that's good preaching right there. I'd go to a church that preached that. Matter of fact, I would find it very hard to go to a church that didn't preach that. Are you hearing me? I just know it is the will of God for you and I to be blessed. Not just so that we could be blessed, so we could be a blessing. Amen? If you took Wave Church out of the city, would the city even notice? Well, I want to tell you something. I believe it would notice. I believe we are making a difference. I believe we are changing our community. I believe that the church has been a blessing to this city and all the cities that we're a part of. Thank God for your faithfulness. Let's stay on this journey in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at me now. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. Listen. No one comes to the Father. Jesus said, he didn't say, I'm a way, I'm a truth. He didn't say, I'm a form of life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Are you hearing it? Allah is not a way. Come on, somebody. Muhammad is not a way. I mean, it's a way as far as the world's concerned. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Jesus knelt in a garden, knowing he'd go to the cross for your sin and for my sin. And he said, listen to what he said. Father, if there's any other way, help me now and not go through to the cross. If there's any other way. So if Allah was the way, then Jesus wouldn't have had to do this. If Mormonism was the way, then Jesus wouldn't have to do this. If Baha'i was the way, if universalism or pluralism, are you hearing me? If there was another way, Jesus was looking for it. God, if there's any other way, this is going to hurt. This is going to be painful. This is going to be torture. So if there's any other way, Father, and then he says, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Listen to me. We all need Jesus. He's not a way. He's the way. We all need Jesus. He's not a truth. He is the truth. And we all need Jesus. He's not just a key to a little bit of life. He is life in and of itself. And I want to pray for you today. Have you ever had a life-changing encounter with Jesus? Everybody online, I want you to listen to me. Everybody at Seaboard Road, we love you, Seaboard. I think Mark and Sandy are just amazing down there. I love the fact that they're down there with you, and we love our Seaboard Road campus. Do you know what? Seaboard Road, debt-free. Has no debt on its building, no debt on its land. Norfolk, debt-free. Has no debt on the building. No, that's because of you. It's because over the years, you've enabled us to do those things, and there's still more to come. I got a heart for 20 Wave campuses around the United States. We will have a Wave Church in Washington, D.C. We will have a Wave Church in New York City. We will have a Wave Church in Florida. We will have a Wave Church on East and West Coast. I'm telling you, I love what God's doing through Wave Church. Can I pray for you? If you say, Steve, I don't know Jesus as you speak of, wherever in the world you are watching online, listen to me now. Whatever you do, don't get distracted. Don't be thinking about a coffee right now. Lean into this service right now. I want to pray with you. Already two people have made a decision online to give their life to Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Can I pray for you this morning? If you don't know Jesus, if you don't know what it is to be forgiven of your sins, if you don't know what it is to have a personal, real relationship with Jesus, I want to pray for you. My dad was 55 years old. He went to church every Sunday, didn't miss one for 55 years, and yet he never knew Jesus. He knew bells, he knew smells, he knew stand, sit, kneel, incense, The Lord be with you and also with you. He knew Hail Mary and Our Father. He said them religiously every week, but he never knew Jesus. My friend, do you know Jesus? Have you ever had a life-changing encounter with him? I'd love to pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. Time is gone. I'm just going to ask you right where you're seated. If you say, Steve, pray for me. Steve, I don't know Jesus as you speak of. Steve, pray for me. I don't have a real relationship with Jesus. I'd love to pray for you. Matter of fact, there are people here this morning and you once were living for God, but you know today you're not living for him like you once were. I want to pray for you as well. I'm going to ask everybody in a moment to close your eyes and bow your heads. Church, are you believing with me right now? Come on, are you believing with me right now? Is this heaven's priority? And if you say, Steve, include me in that prayer, I'm just going to ask you right where you're seated. When we close our eyes, when we bow our heads, if you'll just take your hand, look at me, and just put it in the air. Everybody online, if you'll just click that button, I'm making a decision. And I want to pray for you. So I'm going to ask you in the name of Jesus to put your hand in the air when we pray so I know who I'm praying for. Are you ready, church? You're a little quiet. I know you've had too much food. Are you ready, church? Come on, let's pray. Everybody, close your eyes. And friend, if that is you, and I'm talking to you, and you say, Steve, pray for me, would you lift your hand right now? And I want to pray that Jesus would make himself real to you. God bless you, sir. There are others here today. You click that button online. God bless you, sir. I see another hand right there. God bless you. There's another hand right there. God bless you, ma'am. There's another hand right there. God bless you. There's another hand right there. There's another hand right there. Where are you today? Come on, let me see your hands. Give it a wave if I haven't seen it. I want to pray with you and for you. You in the name of Jesus. This is my last call. If you haven't lifted your hand, but you know you should, put it up nice and high right now. Thank you. I see that hand as well. Isn't that wonderful? Church, can we give a Lord a hand? There's another hand there. There's another hand there. And there's another hand there. Oh, come on. Give God some praise. More people are making a decision. Let's all pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus. Come on, say it out loud. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you today to come into my life, to forgive me of my sins. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.